afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain. We're looking about a 4-hour flight time today. We've got clear skies, good visibility. Flight attendants, please prepare for takeoff.
Afternoons on the Horn with Chad Hastings and Kevin Dunn.
You guys both look like you might want to hit me in the face.
We are not the strictest parents when it comes to summertime.
Good.
I like letting her stay up a little.
My parents did the same thing.
She'll be out there watching TV, like grinding at 2:15. I'll walk out there and go to bed. What are you doing? She's like, it's summertime.
You're up.
No, I was getting up like to go to the bathroom or something.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't consistently up.
Oh, okay.
But now, yeah, before I go to
bed.
We
know that's a process. You'll be up after that.
That's right.
Fan on, light on.
A lot goes on.
Fire extinguisher.
Everything. A lot of things going on there.
Chad Hastings.
I take nothing into the bathroom with me.
And Kevin Dunn.
You don't read on there? I do what I need to do and I get out of there.
On the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Afternoon delight.
Day and night. I toss and turn, I keep stressing my mind.
You're damn right. Let's go hour number one on a Monday. Kevin Dunn is here. I'm Chad Hastings. Trey Elling producing, getting you those great intros. Hope you had a great weekend. We are closing in on football season. And I'm happy to report that everyone in this room, and I think even a guy in that room where Trey's sitting, all have their Phil Steele's magazines.
Look at that.
Very exciting.
Good. It's good to see
you. Phil Steele's. Got mine.
Good to see it.
Tabs are all in there, ready to go.
Look at you.
For the season.
Yeah, that is smart. I mocked you the first year you did that and thought, oh, man, mosquitoes or crickets. I mean, what's dying? But it does work. I've seen it work over the years.
Trey tells me he's going to Tabs this year.
I don't blame him.
I finally pushed someone to Tabs. Trey's going to go with the Tabs. Phil Steele is out there. Now, if you get it at a particular location every year and you haven't seen it yet, it is supposed to be a guaranteed buy tomorrow. So I get mine's.
I get mine's when I reads.
I get, yes.
Do you say that when you're in the bookstore?
I get.
Where's mine's?
Apparently, after they teach me how to speak, I get mine. I get mine at Barnes & Noble, and I hit the Arboretum location. They had it. That was Saturday night. You got yours at Book People.
Yeah.
Okay.
This morning, Book People.
And then I'm
reading. There's four left now.
I'm reading that they have an agreement with some Walmarts. Sometimes in a grocery store, depending on which grocery store you hit, you can find Phil. And for the Texas cover, you got Malik Jefferson.
Yeah.
You got Christian Kirk of A&M. You got Kyle Hicks of TCU. And Big Ed Oliver of Houston right there on the front. I think we got to give Tom Herman a nod for that. Because Ed Oliver, not that Ed Oliver wouldn't have found his way to a cover without Tom Herman. But certainly Herman and those guys last year get credit for not only getting Ed Oliver to go to Houston, but turning him into a great player. And the idea that a Houston defensive lineman makes the cover of this magazine is pretty wild.
Yeah, and he should.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been as productive, was been more productive than Malik. I would say Kirk, although Kirk's really good.
He is. He needs to have a good year this year. I thought he fell back a little last year.
Yeah. Some of that's quarterback, though. And mm-hmm. he same question this year.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
Boy, he looks the part, though.
It was a part of it. He's incredible out in space. So we'll definitely talk some football today. We're under 70 days now. 68 days until Texas plays Maryland. And I guess we should talk some Texas football right out of the block. Another commitment in the 2018 class.
Ooh.
Rondale Moore,
okay.
A wide receiver. Nice name. 5'9", 175, a kid from Lowell. Kentucky, and three-star, but lightning fast. 4.33 in the 40, and that's at a camp, they measured him, and a 42.7 vertical.
Whoa.
That's getting up and getting gone.
And that size, you start to picture guys you've seen that have been really productive in college football.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Scat guys.
Guys that can find some space and then find some turf and go.
Mm-hmm.
If you go watch the film, I watched it on orangebloods.com today. It's all over the place today on the Texas sites. But plenty of plays where it could be a little slant route. It could be a little something to get him to the middle. And then he just starts burning folks. So, obviously, you got to see, you know, can he outrun college folks instead of just high school kids in Kentucky, but he is a burner, you can tell.
Yeah, and hope you're deep enough to develop him, whether it's redshirting him or letting him come along at his own pace. And then that's where you trust Herman and the offensive staff to put him in a good position in that offense.
And I would think It is absolutely important. That's a position that they do feel deep. They feel deep. They feel stacked up the right way.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Is that fair?
Yeah. I would say of all of them.
Yeah, maybe of every unit, they feel really set at receiver to where they're not going to have to rush anybody like that along. I think that's great news if you're a Longhorn fan.
Yeah, and I just like the fact that the momentum continues.
Yeah. Now, the question on this other thing is, how good a news is it? And you heard Ketch talk about this in Orange Bloods Radio today. Shane Buechele won the quarterback challenge at the Manning Passing Academy over the weekend.
Well, can't be bad news.
Can't be bad. I agree. Now, the question is, how good? Because the list of attendees also included Jalen Hurts of Alabama, Arkansas's Austin Allen, Jacob Eason from Georgia, Lamar Jackson, the Heisman Trophy winner, Shea Patterson, the kid from Ole Miss, Kenny Hill from TCU, Sam Darnold.
Okay.
Blink, blink.
Now we're talking.
From USC, Jake Browning from Washington.
Okay.
And the kid from Wyoming. Now.
Josh Allen,
very good. To be clear on this, Trey pointed out, we were discussing it before the show came on, and Trey brought up the point that there apparently was weather going on in that part of the world,
okay,
and not every guy did everything. So I've not seen like a complete list of this guy did this guy did that.
I didn't need that detail.
But, well, I'm just trying to.
He won the event.
Right. We're trying to fully report. Again, this is about how good a news is it? Is it, like you said, can't be bad, but how good is it? If I was a Texas fan, a couple of those names would stand out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does it shock me that Buechele was able, in a throwing competition, we assume it's all throwing at the Passing Academy, that he was able to throw better than Hurts, Shea Patterson, and Lamar Jackson? No, I'm not shocked at that.
Yeah, I'm not either.
But if he threw better than Sam Darnold and the kid from Georgia, now I'm impressed.
Well, not so much. Eason probably has the best arm there.
Yes,
but accuracy is a long way away. So, I mean, the two I would look at, if Browning's healthy, it's Darnold and Browning. Those are the two. If he beats them, I'm really impressed with accuracy.
Yeah. So, as of right now, since we don't have that complete list of what everybody did, Longhorn fans, tell all your friends he beat everybody, and he beat them all at everything.
All you need to know.
Until you figure it out. Because, obviously, this is, the big discussion around here is how much is he going to just start and take this job, or does Sam Ellinger really put up a fight in terms of trying to grab starts by the end of the year? And again, if you're a Longhorn fan, I would think this gives you some confidence about year two of Shane Buechele. If he just showed up in a sterile environment, a third party environment like that, and beat out a bunch of guys.
Yeah, can the offensive line keep him healthy, and can they stay healthy? Because that you talk about lack of depth, that's where I'd get scared. And you think, I mean, a lot of things could change this season with health.
Yeah, right. There's certain positions that if they have one injury.
It happened to him last year.
And after that body slam against Cal, he wasn't right the rest of the year.
No.
For me.
Wasn't the same.
He had an impressive year.
He did.
Set the freshman passing record, took Colts freshman passing record, almost 3,000 yards and everything, but he just didn't look right to me after that slam that he took against Cal. So if you have any football comments, obviously we'll take those. Specs text line and voicemail line is 337-3776. The Phil Steele's magazine, I was thumbing through it a little bit. One thing that jumped out, I am not about going through these magazines and saying, oh, this prediction will be wrong, or this, and then remembering it later. But there is one thing Phil Steele has absolutely wrong. Phil Steele is trolling all of us by picking Texas and Texas A&M to play in a bowl against each other. Like, Phil is just messing with all of us.
What bowl? Texas Bowl?
Yes.
Of course.
The Texas Bowl. Now, if he was messing around and predicting crazy, wild, good things for both and saying, yeah, they're going to go to the Rose Bowl, or they're going to go to a big-time bowl. They'll go to the playoff or something like that, okay, I might give you that more than I give you this one. Those two teams are not going to agree to play there on December 27th. Mark my words, it will not happen.
Not there.
No. No, no.
If we're going to play, make it big, right?
Unless, here's the only way it happens. Let me say it right now, this is the only circumstance, unless the SEC completely screws the Aggies. That's how they could play.
And you guys don't do that with bowls. I mean, you pick them very well.
Normally, no. Normally, the SEC is pretty
good. Smart with matchups.
Although the SEC has done some things where I think they're not showing my Aggies SEC respect. But I don't think they'll do this. If the Aggies tell them,
it's because
we don't want to play, they won't.
Family yet?
Yeah, I don't know how long that takes.
Married in.
It's 5 years now. Is that vested?
You're I don't know, but your fifth year at Wendy's isn't like when you go now for Thanksgiving and it's like, no, we deal with them. You know what? He's part of the family now.
I don't know what the year is. I don't know how that is. So it's been what, 12, 13, 14?
You tell me.
It's been five. This is into year six. I don't know.
No, about the marriage. At what point when you're in Sugarland and you would just be you and they'd be like, you know what? He's part of the family now.
I'm still waiting. No. That's
like 10?
That's an unfair question because I'm just me all the time.
Which we love.
Didn't take long.
Okay, good.
Nah, it didn't take long.
So the Aggie thing's taking longer.
Yes, I think so. Maybe SEC people can tell me. Is it 10 years? Is that when A&M is in on that? But, yeah, that's Phil Steele's prediction.
Arkansas fans are like, I don't know, we're still waiting.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, they can tell you from 92.
91, 92, yeah.
When they got in. I think Arkansas is in. I do. I think Arkansas is an SEC team. That's a long time. What is that, 25 years now?
Yeah.
25. If they're not in before, they're in this year, right?
Okay.
25 years, Kevin's a long time.
Things can move slow.
It's a long
time.
Things
can move slow.
Yeah, I think considering how Arkansas is done in the SEC, I think the other SEC West teams are glad to consider them part of the conference.
Yeah, well, no, they are part of the conference, but they're not where they thought they were going to be.
No, they're not, which is a whole – that factors into the whole A&M discussion of where they think they need to be. But, yeah, Texas and Texas A&M predicted by Phil Steele to play in the Texas Bowl. I'm going to even say I bet if you get that magazine in other parts of the country, that's not what's there. I bet he just did it just for this region, just to mess with us.
Okay, so Detail Chad, one of the biggest things that popped out at him, you're not happy with Malik's logo?
I'm not thrilled with the Malik logo. When you get the Phil Steele magazine,
it doesn't pop, but not all of them do. This could have been like a practice one, or could have been a different game.
When you get the when you get the Phil Steele magazine, Christian Kirk, Kyle Hicks, and Ed Oliver,
those are real.
They took pictures from them legitimately playing a football game. I'm not exactly sure what the Malik thing is.
What's wrong with it?
I don't know if they took it from a practice deal where he didn't have a logo and they inserted it. My contention is that logo was put on after printing. I think that's what happened.
Okay.
That's a post-printed logo.
Trey?
Because that's not shiny Longhorn.
Yeah, that is shiny Longhorn.
No, it's just got a lot of light.
Hitting off of it.
Yeah, I don't think so.
That's Malik spying during the Texas Tech game last year.
He's not buying.
Spying the quarterback.
He's not buying.
I tell you what, I'm going to look up a photo gallery of the game and see if I can get a verification because that just looks awful. That just doesn't look good to me.
That's funny.
Doesn't look good.
It's good to have this though, isn't it?
Oh, it's great. Yeah, it's great to have Phil Steele's magazine. We get to thumb through a lot of the things that are going on and remind you about who's going to be playing. Interesting. We were talking about it before the show came on though.
Oh, good news, bad news here. For all the Tech fans.
Yeah.
Let my cousin know. My nephew, and a cousin, actually. Texas Tech has 6 starters returning on defense.
6?
6.
It's a good number.
Is that good or bad, though?
Well, yeah.
It's a good news, bad news.
Right. It's
true. Every time I look at that with them, I think, well, maybe just 11 new guys will work.
Yeah. If the 3 best actresses from a certain movie are back for the sequel, and the first one was terrible... Who cares, right? Yeah. That is the question. Is it 6 guys back on a team that can actually play defense? You know what? I'm going to let history tell me that that's not good news.
It's not.
But that category, that little place in Phil Steele's magazine every year for Tech, it's never good news.
No.
I don't care what that number is. I don't care if that number is 11 or if that number is 2.
He's on that. Now, he did miss Malik Zaire.
Yes.
You told me about that.
Yeah, I was looking through to see if
he... Not a mention? Usually he'll mention stuff like that. It could be, maybe.
I know. So I looked through, and you pointed this out. So he's got Will Grier in as the starter for West Virginia, and they just decided that he's going to be able to play early. So that one I understand. They thought he might get a 7-game suspension. He could mention that in there and say, hey, if they get the NCAA deal, whatever.
Right.
So Will Greer's in there. Jarrett Stidham, of course, is in there, with Auburn, listed as their starter. That's another interesting name to watch this year. Can Gus Malzahn get something out of Jarrett Stidham and crank that offense up? Because he's gone through a couple years of since Nick Marshall left, of a guy to try to run the offense he wants to run. But then I thought, let me check out the Florida thing. See if he got Zaire. Not a mention. He's not in his 2 or 3 deep or whatever it is, how deep he goes at quarterback. And in the quarterback discussion, he doesn't mention him. But we all know that Malik Zaire is going to be at Florida. So, a couple of those things. Sometimes you can't, Phil waits nice and late I like that about the Phil Steele magazine.
But timing doesn't make sense. Will Grier is listed as a starter for West Virginia. Now, he was going to be back no matter what, but it could have been seven games.
Right. I can't believe the Malik discussion didn't hit his ears somewhere. This is a guy who played
such a nerdy Phil Steele conversation.
It is.
You know, we're like, right. We've been following you forever.
Yeah, that's true. Now, again, because this is not a guy that transferred from North Dakota State. He didn't transfer from East Carolina.
No.
He transferred from Notre Dame. I know Notre Dame ended up bad last year, but he transferred from Notre Dame, the whole Brian Kelly soap opera, to School X, and School X ends up being Florida.
Yep.
So, yeah, right. I mean, I'll take not a shot, but I'm a little surprised. A little surprised that Phil didn't grab that one.
Could the Arizona schools be open?
Open in terms of coaching?
Rich Rod, what, 5 years? See, you know, 6 years in, 3-9. Graham went 5-7 last year.
I don't know. Yeah.
I've always thought those jobs could be bigger.
Just depends on that perspective.
Yeah.
Kind of like the Texas Tech thing for me. It depends on the perspective of the fan base, the powers that be. Are you really mad? Are you really upset? Or if they follow up what you just said with a 7-win season, go to a bowl, maybe you get 7. Does that calm the fans down? Because I think if Tech found a way to a bowl this year, I think Cliff Kingsbury stays.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Cliff Kingsbury's in any, and I don't know that he's in. I think they could figure out a way to win a type of 5-game win season.
Right.
And he still might stay.
And Graham could say, "Look, went 10-4, then 10-3, and 13-14, 6-7, and 15, and then 5-7 last year."
Yeah.
So if he can turn it around, he still has those 2 10-win seasons at Arizona State.
Plus, who's going to look that cool in the Garth Brooks microphone? Nobody.
Only
he looks that cool, Kevin.
I don't know.
The Rich Rod question's a good one, too. I don't know how that works out.
And he goes back to, well, in 14, we were 10-4. So, mm-hmm. But 3-9 last year, man. You better watch out.
And they are also now in a Pac-12 South that includes USC theoretically back in a national discussion. By the way, Phil Steele is picking USC. He's picking Alabama and Ohio State in the national title, but he's picking USC to make the playoff. So it's a USC that has a stud quarterback, and people think they are back.
Yeah, but are they? I mean, are we kind of overhyping them? I'm going to dig into them probably tonight.
Yeah, maybe a little bit, but UCLA is getting a lot of attention with Rosen and what they are or are supposed to be. So, yeah, it's a good question about the Arizona school. 68 days away from Texas and Maryland and that first big Saturday. If you want to jump in.
Ronald Jones.
Specs text line, voicemails 337-3776.
Roland Jones.
Strolling Roland.
Asian girls everywhere.
No, that's the other one.
That's Ronald's
the one that
Jamaba
Charlie right. Staff sent Roland Jones, and so he's like, "Oh, Texas is off the list."
Yeah, and that's Ronald Jones. He's a defensive back.
No, he's the running back at USC.
The running back. That's right.
I just like the way he runs. I do.
Yeah, he's fun to watch. There's no doubt. That's a team everybody's going to be paying attention to. Clearly, we'll pay attention to them around here because they will play Texas in the first couple games of the season. In fact,
September 16th.
Where did they start? Western Michigan. Oh, they play Stanford before they play Texas.
Yeah, I saw that.
That's good to see.
It is. It's odd.
I like it. Yeah,
and it's a week before too.
Yeah, I like that. Week before the week before when Texas plays San Jose State, USC is going to host Stanford. USC starts the year hosting Western Michigan, Stanford, and Texas.
And then they go straight, you know, next week at Cal, which who knows with Cal, and we found out last year what that can be like. But for them, that's always a heated game. Then at Washington State, which has changed.
Mm-hmm.
All consecutively.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a heck of a way to start the year. Then they finally, no, they don't get a week off then. They go to Oregon State.
Oregon State at home.
Utah. At Notre Dame. Well, there's no break in there for
them. There really isn't, man.
They don't have an off week.
You know why? Because they have November 25th and December 2nd off. So they go straight from September 2nd.
That's weird.
Western Michigan at home to November 18th, UCLA at home.
I don't think I've ever seen a schedule like that.
I don't remember many, if any at all. And that's where you go back to, well, how deep are they? How much have the scholarship stuff has that impacted it?
That is wild.
I think they're off of that, but that always can lag.
We always say it. College football is so much about the schedule, who you play and who you don't play and where do you play them. But in this case, wow, that's a I don't know that we'll see too many of those looking at looking through the magazines before the 17 season. No breaks, no breaks, and then two bye weeks at the end. Why would that matter? Once you're done, you're done. Two bye weeks before your bowl prep?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Well, and it started tough for them last year, remember, because they got smoked by Alabama, and they were such a different team 2 months later.
Yeah, that's true.
Including Darnold.
Sam Darnold going into the sophomore year for USC this year. All right, coming up, we will get you the big three, including not only the football side of things, but how about the baseball side? Championship Series is set in Omaha, and there's a bit of a southeastern flavor in Omaha. We'll set you up for that, tell you about the Astros and the Rangers. Also, coming up in the crap bag, I'll tell you about Jordan Spieth's weekend. You've probably seen the shot, but the full story is pretty wild. This is The Horn.
What a wicked thing to say. You never felt this way.
Chad and Kevin with you on a Monday.
What a wicked thing to do.
You remember this one, right?
Chris Isaac.
There you go.
Video.
Speaking of dudes that can hit a note.
Yeah.
And yes, you brought it up before I could. That video. Mm-hmm. That's good work, Chris.
Let's go to the beach.
Good work. Never wanted to have sand on you more in your life than watching that video.
Yeah, that got me over my sand issues.
Yeah. Chris Isaac is 61 years old today. Happy birthday to Chris.
He's 61?
61. And probably more handsome than both of us. I'm just guessing.
Where did life go?
I know. Patty Smythe of Scandal is 60 today and I think still married to John McEnroe.
I was going to ask you.
I think she's still married to Johnny Mac.
He made some news.
Running his mouth over the weekend.
So do you think Serena... Now, we know Serena wouldn't be one of the top male players ever, right?
No.
We know that. But would she be 700?
No.
Is there any reason to even say that?
Like the idea that the 600th best men's player on tour, whoever that happens to be, would just wipe the court with Serena. Come on, man. There's no...
He'd compete, though? Because of the difference?
It depends on who the guy is, but to go down at 600...
I'm asking. I have no idea.
Yeah, to go at 600 or 700, that is a severe insult to Serena. There's no,
I would think.
And there's no need to do it.
Well, that I think for sure.
That's what I don't get. Like, would Serena beat, you know, Djokovic right now, 3 out of 5? No, she wouldn't. That's not the discussion. And McEnroe is having like a... It's like an insulting part of the discussion.
I know who she would wipe the floor with or court with right now.
Who's that?
John McEnroe.
Yes.
They played right now.
I'd take Serena.
Yeah, you think?
I'd take Serena, no problem right now. Happy birthday to Patty. Happy birthday to Gretchen Wilson and also Ariana Grande, 24 years old today. Everything she's been through in this last year, 24 years old. Happy birthday to those folks.
Couple texts here, USC fans getting into it, not getting into it, but definitely having some good conversation. Someone was like, hey, Kevin, don't forget Sam Darnold took over after a couple games. That's what I didn't say that. That's
yep. Right.
I said that, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, so the Alabama game, 52-6, they were completely different. But the main thing was Sam Darnold wasn't starting.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe we weren't clear on that earlier.
Right.
We mentioned the whipping. We probably didn't mention that Sam absolutely
it was,
didn't
And they
play.
Said 2 or 3 games. Yeah, it was about a month. And,
yeah.
And we were already hearing chirping. I had a couple USC people even talking about it before the Alabama game.
Mm-hmm.
So... There was a lot of thought. Yeah, that he should have been the guy, and there's no doubt he should have been the guy. They're going to be really good. Someone else said, "Don't worry about the Cal game." Well, I know how serious Cal takes it, and I wouldn't be worried about that game for USC. I would just be talking about the schedule and how that's sandwiched.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's all crammed together.
A lot of stuff there.
Yeah, I don't recall seeing a team like that. If you just tuned in, USC starts on that first weekend, and they don't stop until. They
November
play,
18th.
Until they play 12. They play 12 in a row, 12 consecutive weeks. Clay Helton cannot be happy with that. I don't know how.
No.
I don't know how that worked out. But they don't play the 25th. They don't play.
Push UCLA back. Why not?
That next. Yeah, I don't. Maybe it's got to do with those schools out there on the West Coast going on the quarter
UCLA
system.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it's that. Could it be about school?
It could be.
Maybe it's
school shouldn't get in the way of football.
Yeah, maybe it's actually about academics. I hear that's a big deal in some parts of the country. I don't know.
Yeah, because UCLA has Cal November 24th.
Yeah, that's weird. Really strange. Yeah, right, so they couldn't do it that way. All right, so if you're just jumping in, let's get you a big three, catch you up on the weekend.
The Big Three.
We mentioned the Texas football stuff. The 12th commit in the 2018 class is Rondale Moore, a wide receiver out of Louisville, and he is fast. 4.33 in the 40. He was clocked at that time in a camp, and he has a 42.7 vertical.
I love guys like that.
Wow.
Let's give our favorite nuggets.
You mentioned Dave Meggett the other day.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
But, I mean, it can be, you know, a nugget is a Dave Meggett. It can be a Wes Welker. It
Steve
can be
Smith.
An Eric Metcalf. Steve Smith.
I'll pick a guy that won at least one. He may have won two.
Did Percy Steve Smith's a good call.
Did Percy Harvin win two championships at Florida or just one?
I believe two.
Man, I love the way they used him.
Yeah.
He's one of my favorites of that variety. He would count in that category.
Yeah, sure.
Right?
No, we're gonna keep this open.
Yeah, Percy's that.
Rocket would be one.
Rocket's
probably mine.
Rocket is a fantastic example of that.
Tavon Austin.
Ooh,
Tavon Austin was great. Oh, remember that team they put together?
That guy could go. I think he could cut on a dime, same level of an Ike Hilliard and a Peter Warwick.
Mm.
Those guys would just cut. You know, especially after a catch or before.
Can I put Christian Kirk in there? I'd like him to be this year.
Yeah. You'd like him to be.
He hadn't been my favorite
yet. You would have liked Speedy Noyle to be that.
I would have liked Speedy Noyle to be that. Yes, exactly right. And for Texas guys, the name that popped in my head when you said it was DJ Monroe.
Okay. Remonce was when Remonce was going.
Remonce was incredible. Remonce was actually, but I think of DJ always because that's the guy that I think, that's maybe the best example of these last few years of a guy you didn't get near enough out of.
Mm-hmm.
That's the guy we kept asking the coaches about. He's averaging 10 a carry. Why doesn't he get more? Boy, we need to do it. Okay. You ready? I mean, anytime.
I don't think that's going to be a problem with this staff. I don't either.
I think Mr. Duvernay is going to get plenty of touches.
Yeah, and Duvernay's a guy with his speed. He may be a guy who we just completely forget about, and then he could make some game-changing plays because of it.
The other good news for Texas football over the weekend, Shane Buechele wins the quarterback challenge at the Manning Passing Academy.
That's it. Move on.
There you go. Over guys including Jalen Hurts and Sam Darnold.
Right.
And Jake Browning.
And?
And the Heisman Trophy winner.
There you go.
There it is.
There it is.
College World Series. Well, that Oregon State-Florida thing didn't quite work out.
What happened?
Man, LSU beat Oregon State 3-1 and then 6-1 amid some crazy umpiring in those games, but Oregon State also played bad. TCU did beat Florida once, but Florida came back and got them. So it is an all-SEC final. Florida and LSU. LSU's got 6 national titles. Florida's looking for their first. 6 o'clock ESPN tonight.
Yeah, and they had to throw Fiedo, so we'll see. LSU's they had a bunch of seniors come back. I love when seniors come back in college baseball. I mean, it's a good sign. And those guys have fought. They were not going to go down easily. Mm-hmm. There were some bad calls. I didn't watch the second one.
God.
I watched the first. Yeah, I just saw on Twitter, so I can't really.
Well, they had one where when they went back to the upshot, when you get the overhead view, the catcher had to move the glove a good 3 inches to get out there to catch it. There was just no argument in the world that it could have been a strike. And that, I believe, was a strike that was an out. Like, it was that was the third strike. They didn't just call it on like a first or second. So I saw Dustin and other people tweeting about it and talking about it over the weekend. It sucked that discussion was going on because I think there's been some really good, high-quality baseball. We've talked about it. I hate that a Final Four-level game got messed with because of that.
No, the play's gotten better and the umpiring is not. So the umpiring at some point needs to catch up to the play. They need to take the roll on the bat stuff seriously. You can't just take a bat after a 3-run homer in a game like that, elimination game, and then not say anything about it. So, yeah, there's a lot of things they need to figure out. But this should be a good one. Florida has more talent. I think LSU has more experience, but LSU's got some talent too. So this is going to be, I think it's going to be good baseball.
If you care, earlier in the season, about midseason, Florida took 2 out of 3 midseason from LSU, but both teams say they are very different than they were then.
Yeah, Baylor swept Texas in 2005.
Right.
Texas came here and beat them.
And I think it was in Gainesville, to be fair.
Okay.
So I think they took 2 out of 3 at home. In Major League Baseball, Astros take 2 out of 3 from Seattle. They've won 6 out of 7. They're 52-25.
Yep.
Their differential is 119, and they're up 13 in the division again.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
Yeah, and Springer's fine.
Springer's so that's good news.
He hit another homer over the weekend.
They continue to roll, continue to vote for him. You've got time with the All-Star game, so you got to fill it up with them. You know, a lot of Astros, and then also a lot of Dodgers. Dodgers have won 10 in a row. They swept the Rockies. We talked about how big that was going to be.
Big series.
Dodgers are, they're the best team in the National League right now.
I'm going to just go out on a limb and say that Clayton Kershaw kid, I think he's going to work out.
I think he's going to be all right.
How about that outing?
Yeah.
When they need, I mean, right in the middle of that series, when you need your stud to be your stud, you can't sweep unless he gives you the opportunity to sweep, and he dominated Colorado.
I think Skip deserved the Oklahoma job and deserved a head job, but boy, it doesn't hurt when that's on your resume. When he still goes back to you and you're his personal pitching coach.
Oh, yeah, there's a ding-ding for you.
Right.
That works. Yeah, right now, if you had to pick a prospective World Series, it'd be Astros-Dodgers. That's the way it feels right now.
Yeah, it does. I mean, the Nationals can say something there. I'm looking at the East, and I just don't know if I still trust the Yankees to battle through this. Tampa Bay is only, I think, two and a half out. And of course, Boston's a team we're all looking at. I'm like, okay, when are you guys going to take control? The Cubs are a wreck. You know, I mean, they may end up winning the Central, but I don't have a lot of faith in them. And then you look at the NL West. The NL West has been really good this year, Chad. Really good.
Those three teams probably making the playoffs.
You would think.
They're probably going to get both wild cards, at least right now, you would assume. All right, so you got that. And then the Rangers look good over the weekend. They took 2 of 3 at Yankee Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
They've won 4 out of 6. They're still a game and a half out of the wild card. Tonight, Texas at Cleveland, 6-10. Cole Hamels against Carlos Carrasco. This could be an interesting series to watch because even with the Astros' success, we know the one team the Astros have had a little trouble with is that defending AL champion Cleveland team.
Yep.
Let's see what the Rangers look like in Cleveland for the next couple because Cleveland's pretty tough.
Yeah, Cleveland's tough, although I think Minnesota just swept them. And now they're right back and forth.
That?
I mean, yeah, a lot of these teams just baseball, we talk about how the lack of good teams in basketball, that's not a problem in baseball. So, I mean, when you look at a 500 record, it's not the same as when we were looking at a 500 record in the NBA. By the way, did you watch that Texas game, New York game, the one that ended up being a rain delay and started late?
I did not.
Darvish and Tanaka, right?
I did not get
Trey,
to see
you
game.
Were tweeting about that. Seemed to be, man, that was pretty good aces going back and forth.
Considering that Tanaka especially hasn't been a great pitcher this year, what a duel that was. Those two guys had met on 4 different occasions when both pitched in Japan and never disappointed the fans showing out to see a pitching duel. And it was much of the same in the Bronx on Friday night. Unfortunately, I think the rain and the crappy weather probably affected both guys' ability to go deeper into the game. Yu Darvish left, I know you're going to be shocked by this, with a little bit of, I think it was either neck or back stiffness, nothing too serious. But after 7,
shock.
Rangers looked like they
after
had...
After 7, would he throw 180 pitches?
Yeah, Rangers looked like
how
they
dare you.
Had grabbed control off of Aroldis Chapman, of all people, in the top of the 9th, only to have Matt Bush cough up what is the Rangers' AL-leading 14th save opportunity this year.
Wow.
In the bottom of the 9th. The Yankees go on to win that one.
Texas blown 14?
Blown 14 saves this year. That's not just in the 9th inning, mind you, but it's still a big number nonetheless.
Guys, I mean this, and you're going to take this as a smart-ass comment, but that's impressive. Like, I mean, you don't, at this time, you've already blown 4. Wow.
Well, just goes to show you also that this team.
It is impressive.
That did not sound like a compliment.
Well, it just goes to show that with all the injuries that this team has experienced, they've still played winning baseball for the most part. And if they can get some of these bullpen issues fixed, they will be a team to be reckoned with either with the wild card standings later in the year, if not making it to the postseason. They're going to be a tough out for somebody if they can get there.
I agree with that. I mean, a tough out until you get to the last 6 outs.
Those are really tough. Astros do have the night off tonight. If you missed it, Jordan Spieth won over the weekend. Let's get on into the crap bag. Longhorn fans, get ready. You're going to hear Aggie
Chad's
brag on your Longhorn.
Crap bag.
That was great.
If you need an easy way to remember it, just think of a bag of crap.
Best thing this weekend, right?
That was one of the best things I saw all weekend long. Now, I saw that Jordan was leading after the 2nd and 3rd round, so I thought, okay, I'm going to record Sunday. I never watch live golf, but I get it all timed out, and I watch about 2 or 3 hours after it starts. It's perfect.
Have I told you how smart you are for that? Seriously.
It's a good thing, especially when you know you're watching one guy.
If I didn't live at 98%, 99%, I would do that.
Oh, yeah. So, Jordan Spieth, if you didn't watch the whole round yesterday, it's a little more impressive than just hitting that shot, because this was not one of those things we saw at the Masters that year, at the U.S. Open that year, where he's just draining like 50-foot bombs, everything goes his way, he's hitting every shot known to man. Not yesterday. This was the equivalent of that football game where your team has to win when they don't play well, they don't play their best. Jordan Spieth was talking to himself all day long. He was talking to Michael Greller all day long. He did the why I oughta, like he was going to throw his driver at one point in the round.
Can we say this? You and I love Jordan, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, of course I'm rooting for Jordan.
Yep.
Sometimes can be tough to be a fan of.
Well, and then
when he's fighting himself and it can... It just drags.
The battle was going on. Yet he birdied the first two, but then everything the putter started letting him down. He was missing short putts. He was not hitting those big, long 15 and 20 foot putts that he normally hits. So he's grinding through.
You know what sucks? I was expecting him to hit those.
I know.
And I thought that's so unfair.
Right. He had a drive where one more bounce and it goes in the water. It stayed up for him. So he got a couple breaks that way. And then it's coming down to the end. He hit a putt from about 15 feet that he thought he missed. He starts walking at it angrily like, oh, man, to go try to figure out a par putt. It fell for a birdie. And he kind of looks up like, oh, my God. So that's how off he was reading putts mm-hmm. all day. They get down to 18. He needs a par to send it into the extra holes.
Justin said this. His striking has been better.
The ball striking has been pretty good, yeah. But he wasn't completely confident in what he was doing.
No, you're right. You could feel it.
And so he goes into the bunker on 18, an incredible up and down to get his par and then send it to the extra hole. And I'm still concerned, like, oh man, I think this kid may have caught him. This burger kid looked really confident.
Did you not think that was going in though on 18 from the bunker?
The first time?
Yes.
I thought he could, certainly.
Okay, I mean, once it popped out, I thought, yeah. this could go in.
Because of his history. He won his first tournament by getting, from a bunker in the John Deere, made it, and they went to an extra hole and he won it there. So he sets the extra hole. Berger flips out and goes left towards this tree. And I'm thinking, here we go, Jordan.
Not that far left.
Jordan goes further left, hit the tree, and then experienced what all of us who've played golf, hopefully you that are listening and played golf, have experienced when you know
luck.
You hit a bad shot and you totally luck out.
Yeah.
My best ever was I hooked a ball way to the left. It hit the electric box that controls the sprinkler system and kicked right out into the middle of the fairway.
Boom.
His wasn't quite that crazy.
Well, but SportsCenter showed it last night, just what it had to get through.
Right.
It's amazing it got through the trees and then just boom. Karam took the right bounce and was on the fairway.
In and back out to get onto the fairway, and he was way back. He was 220 yards away.
Well, yeah, the only problem is I think he was at least 100 yards behind
right.
Homeboy.
Yeah, exactly. So thankfully for him, the other guy doesn't hit a fantastic shot in. Jordan ends up in the bunker, and then it all plays out for just some of the best theater I'm going to see all year.
Mm-hmm.
You knew he could make it because he's a great player out of the sand. He's hit that shot before. But for him to make it, then he throws the club, Greller throws the rake, and then they do the chest bump. You know I'm not a fan of the chest bump normally. It's not my thing necessarily. Don't know why these kids in football are jumping up in the air threatening knee injuries to chest bump. But
for golfers, it's okay.
For a golfer, and they didn't go chest to chest. It was kind of a chest to back as Jordan jumped with neither of them fell down.
Make sure you're on flatter ground next time. Don't be that close to the slope.
They didn't embarrass us Caucasians with the celebration. I thought that was positive. The place went crazy.
I don't think they helped anything, but
it was a great moment.
Yeah, no, I loved it. And I loved the emotion. When I saw him, flick that, and also the people behind. I mean, you just see the crowd.
That's great.
There was an energy there, and he talked about it after that he's never experienced, and for him to be able to bring that, that's when I love golf. I love golf when it's got a little emotion, and that had some.
And I'll give him love for a couple more things. A, the history of it. He has now reached 10 tour wins faster than Jack Nicklaus.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say that again because it's important. He reached 10 tour wins faster than Jack. Only Tiger did it quicker. So he's second, and if you're a Longhorn fan out there, man, that's so cool to have on one of your guys' resumes.
Well,
this early part of the career has been amazing.
And you can thank us. We do a lot of things like kill people. Well, you do.
I do occasionally, apparently.
We do some things that accidentally end up maybe not helping society. But for Longhorn fans, we had Justin Ray on last week. And we asked him. We said, and I think I asked him, he's like, what's going on with Jordan? He's like, you guys need to calm down. He's like, he's fine. He's hitting the ball better.
Yep.
It's like, it's hard to win tournaments. Boom.
And he nails that 10th. The other thing I want to give him big credit for, I don't think I've ever seen a golfer, ever, that gives more credit to their caddy than Jordan Spieth.
Mm-hmm.
After the round, he said, I got to thank Michael Greller. They didn't ask him about his caddy. He brought it up. I got to thank Michael Greller. He helped me out so much today. I was grind. He said, I needed him more today than any round we've ever played.
Whoa, I didn't hear that.
And if you watch the round, you know what he was talking about. They were out in the middle of the fairway one time talking through a shot, and at one point Jordan just stopped Greller and said, it was like, just tell me. Tell me the distance and what to do, or tell me what to hit. And he told him
I heard
quick,
that. That's what I'm talking about, though. It can be frustrating.
Right.
If you're rooting for the guy.
But it's all a part of the – sometimes golfers will blame their caddies indirectly. Sometimes they'll throw them under the bus after a round. A lot of them protect their caddies like they should. But it was just a great comment, I think, on him. And he always says we. He has done it from the very beginning. He talked, we had a tough day today. We had a great day. We had a bad day. Whatever it is, Jordan Spieth is something to watch. And that was cool. I'm glad that was a part of my weekend. I'm glad I figured it out. That he was leading and everything. And that was absolutely something.
Well, Trey had asked last week, it's, you know, when you've got, it can be a major, but if there's not a lot of people that you recognize, then it really doesn't matter for me. I mean, I'm, you know, it matters a little bit, but I care more about who's in it. And if he's in it, I'm watching.
Yeah, the names are always important in golf, and I have a list of names. And if none of those names are there, I'm going to do something else.
Yep.
Yesterday it was that one name. He fought through it. He grinded through it, and he got it done. So congrats to Jordan Spieth. 10 wins faster than Jack Nicklaus. That is pretty darn cool. There's your crap bag for the 3 o'clock hour. Coming up at 5 o'clock, I got all kinds of stuff. I got people hitting people. I got an ESPN the magazine, naked issue, sorry, body issue. And if we have time, some old schools and numbers for Kevin as well.
Yeah. Nice.
That's all coming up, but we are also talking football today. 68 days away from Texas and Maryland. We're talking some college football. We're also talking some baseball as the College World Series gets ready for its final series, 2 out of 3. What the heck's going on with the umpiring over the weekend in multiple sports? This is The Horn. Somebody and they cry for you. They lie awake at night and dream of you. Chad and Kevin with you on a Monday. More Chris Isaac?
Yeah.
Maybe out of the Chris Isaac catalog after this one.
Whoa.
I feel bad for Chris.
You know this song.
I recognize this song, yes.
Good song.
I feel bad for Chris Isaac because I feel like he's probably never even kissed a girl.
Yeah, right.
You know, I mean, he's ugly. He can't sing.
He's he's actually not classically that good looking of a dude. But he's got a sex appeal, obviously, with all that stuff.
Once he starts singing. And remember the hair back in the day? He had the hair all stacked up, had the Elvis-y thick hair and all that stuff that women seem to like.
Yeah, some.
Yeah. Those thick haired
Chad's
bastards.
Got a bigger crush on Chris Isaac.
No, not a crush. It's one of those guys I'd like to walk into the bar once looking like that. One time. With that talent.
We'll give you some sideburns.
With that talent. Give me some sideburns. Let me walk into a bar, single back in the day, and sing to a couple ladies. That's what I want. All right, so happy birthday to Chris Isaac today. We've been talking some college football, 68 days away from Texas and Maryland. Phil Steele Magazine is out there. If it's not where you normally buy it, it's supposed to be guaranteed out tomorrow. Remember, Dave Campbell's magazine's already out. We're going to give you chances to win some Dave Campbell's magazines in July. So be listening to The Horn for that. Check out hornfm.com. Everything is podcasted now and podcasted a little more reasonably, sensibly, easier for you to see on the website. And thanks to our man, Ray. I didn't thank Ray yet over the air, but he's done some incredible work coming in and helping out with the website, among other things. So, Ray, thank you for helping us out.
Ray's a talented dude.
He is.
Good artist, too.
Yes. And wears some cool cowboy shirts every once in a while. So I like that.
Like Dallas Cowboys?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
He was rocking a Lakers shirt the other day. So I'm not sure if he's a Lakers fan, too. That would be confusing. But
sounds like he just likes the winners.
I lean on the Cowboys thing. That's where I'm leaning on that. Also, if you care, Tonight is the NBA awards show that they care so much about to finally let us know who the MVP is.
You're not watching this, are you?
God, no.
Okay.
Lord, no.
Now, like I said earlier, you're very smart with stuff like this. You will tape stuff and then go back and fast forward so you don't have to sit through a lot of the junk.
That's what I do with the ESPYs. I'll record the ESPYs. I'll go watch the monologue, especially this year because I think Peyton will do a decent job. I'll go watch the monologue, and then I might fast forward to, like, the Ash Award.
Okay.
Fast forward, you know, stuff like that.
Gotcha.
Where I'm just, or the Jimmy V stuff, the emotional stuff. If I know something, I'll roll through that. But tonight, Drake is hosting the NBA Awards. I will, you know, I'm sure at some point I'll hear who wins MVP, but no, I'm not going to take the time to care what that moment sounds like. I just want to hear Russell or James, and we all move on.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing it's going to be Russell, right?
I saw some arguments against that, and there's a lot of them, but he shot 440 more shots than Harden, but the points were pretty close. I mean, there's some stuff there. Their team won more.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
Remember, all this was voted on before playoffs.
Right. Harden, but Harden got his team to the second seed, right? Were they second? Third.
Yeah.
Spurs were second. He got them to the third seed in the West, and Russell Westbrook barely got his team into the playoffs.
Yeah.
Right? They were the seven?
Yeah, you can put it that way.
So, yeah, we'll see what happens. But that's tonight, TNT, 8 o'clock, if you want to check it out. Plus, the Cavs reportedly are talking to Indiana and Denver about a three-team deal that would send Paul George to Cleveland, of course, and Kevin Love ultimately would go to Denver. Keep an eye open there. Plus, Kevin, I thought of you on this one. Supposedly, Cleveland will also be leading contenders for Carmelo Anthony if he can get out of his Knicks deal.
Oh.
Wouldn't you love to see Carmelo fit into that mix?
I would. And I think LeBron's always kind of been like, oh, I'm cool with those guys, but deep down knows I don't want to play with them, whether it's Carmelo or Chris Paul. And I don't know. I mean, look, when has Melo been at his best?
Syracuse.
Okay, that's fair. As a pro.
Oh.
Not even close.
Denver.
International competition.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So,
we're in USA.
Right. So if he thinks he's on a dream team and he's on the last run, I'm laughing while I'm saying all this for all you people out there. So I'm just trying to give some semblance of an argument for that.
Make it feel international to him.
Or big. Dream teamy.
Dream teamy.
Yeah.
Tell him there's a medal.
Right.
Even if there's not.
Kyrie, LeBron.
Maybe.
Problem is he looks at the rest of the bench and be like, Kyle Korver wasn't on the, well, he probably was on the dream team.
Would LeBron be the only person on earth he would pass the ball to?
I don't know. I mean, here's the problem, too, is that sometimes we found out, like with LaMarcus, if your game is just an isolation vacuum game, which Carmelo's even more than LaMarcus,
mm-hmm.
Well, then it takes you out of what you do.
You being LeBron.
No, you being Carmelo or LaMarcus. So if
I see what you're saying.
If that's what you do, and then you try and get into a system, well, then all of a sudden you're not feeling right.
So the system kind of destroys what you are, and what you are could destroy the system.
Exactly.
Sounds like a guy you should trade for. Sounds like the guy to get.
We got a deal.
Yeah. Handshakes all around, kids. All right, 4 o'clock hour coming up, and thanks to Trey Elling, a question I've never asked myself has now been proposed. Have you ever seen The Big Lebowski, by the way?
It's a real logo.
No. Have you seen The Big Lebowski?
Yes.
Yes.
I have.
Would you consider that a sports movie?
No, I would not.
Okay.
I think it's a really good movie.
I'm with you.
It's funny.
I think Trey considers that a sports movie. We're going to have that conversation coming up. Is The Big Lebowski a sports movie? We'll talk about it coming up on The Horn.